right. 1, 2, 3. Check. Check.
So funny you mention. It's today's date is December 29th, 2021, and there's actually a new coffee shop that I saw a friend post, and I messaged them, and I said, you know, can't wait to check it out, and they were like, great, and I was like, oh, can I bring my laptop? And they said, we're gonna not do dining in for 2 weeks just to let this thing pass. And I said, oh, we said that in March of 2020, didn't we?
This seems so familiar, doesn't it? Hey, you can't come in. Enjoy this remotely from your computer screen.
I don't think we're there, but I have to say, when he said that, it sort of struck a thing. Like, yeah, I remember when we fucking said 2 weeks.
It's been an explosion, really, the past 2 or 3 weeks. And we went from carefree and dining out and enjoying concerts to, oh my God, I can't go and see the Indigo Girls.
You can't see the Indigo Girls?
Well, they just canceled the performance over at the Symphony Hall. I mean, when Widespread Panic does not have their year-end show, you know it's a serious thing.
Are they canceling their year-end show?
They postponed it, yes.
Are you a big Panic guy?
I am not a Panic guy.
Are you a Dead guy?
Not in the least.
Fish?
No, sorry.
What did you grow up listening to?
I grew up listening to, I would probably call it 80s heavy metal and classic rock, of course.
Okay, such as?
So I'm a huge Iron Maiden fan. I'm a huge Black Sabbath fan.
Okay.
Throw some Rolling Stones, some Beatles, some Kinks into that.
Right. I'm
perfectly happy. And over the past 20 some odd years, I've become a humongous Drive-By Trucker fan. So I just went to see Jason Isbell 2 weeks ago.
Are we the same age? How old are you?
I'm 53.
I'm 49. I love it. I love
very
people
close.
My age or a little older, a little younger, because we can relate. This is what I found out about young people, right? Because young people get short thrift all the time. And it's not that they don't know anything. It's just that they haven't been through anything.
So they know everything through the filter of their parents, which I suppose we are too, right? I mean, why am I a Beatles fan? Well, because my parents love the Beatles, and
because they're the greatest musicians that have ever lived.
Well, that's fair, but how would I have known? Without that introduction, without your parents saying, "Hey, check this out."
But see, mine wasn't, because the Beatles are pretty much ubiquitous, right? Let's say half their catalog is ubiquitous.
Fair.
And then the other half is you become a fan and you do, and you get every album and you get all the B-sides, and then you, right? Okay.
And then you get every remake and remix of every album.
How many of the Beatles have you seen live?
Well, just the one, actually.
Okay.
Just Paul.
Okay. Well, you know, Ringo tours all the time.
I know, but it's, you know, does this make me a bad fan to say
yes.
I've never really had a desire to see...
You never saw the All-Star Band at Chastain? They were touring every year for a while.
They were here in town, you're right, almost every year.
You're a bad Beatle fan.
I clearly am.
So I was introduced really to them through my friend Adam. Adam was like the equivalent, I think an older brother helps. Like, I have older sisters, and they had like the Zeppelin albums, and I definitely remember seeing, like, you know, the Wheel on Is It Physical Graffiti, or, you know, all the Fun albums. Like, I remember those, but and my parents had some stuff, but my friend Adam is the one who was like, here's everything, right? And so fell in love with the Kinks, fell in love with the Who, obviously the Stones. I've seen the Stones now 3 or 4 times.
Nice.
What about you?
I'm a terrible fan. I've probably seen the Drive-By Truckers. I've seen Kiss, true story, 13 times. I've seen 3 different farewell tours for Kiss.
Okay.
But I've never seen the Rolling Stones live.
Yeah, that's, you're a bad person.
I know. I'm admitting that. And they just came through the other day, and I'm like, I really need to go see this concert.
I don't go see any concerts now because I'm 49 years old, and I go to bed at fucking 9:30.
Fair. I still go see concerts.
How many children do you have?
I have 2.
I'm so jealous.
But they're and I, having met your kids, and mine are in college. So we're now back to being able to occasionally go out,
right,
and do fun
when
things.
I'm in college, I'll be in my 60s. Not that 60s is a death sentence, but let's back up about young people. This is my theory. Again, it's not that they don't know anything. It's that I feel like you're not even really formed until you've had like a business fail, or just lost a lot of money on something, had your heart completely fucking stomped on at least once or twice. Then you it's like, okay, now I can talk to you. Until then, I really don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You have to have a little bit of, whether it's emotional or physical trauma in your life to fully understand, to fully live.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay.
Montville, New Jersey, which is northern New Jersey. It's I describe it as pretty adjacent, meaning we're still in that sort of, like, when you see the opening of The Sopranos,
right,
you drive through, that's where I'm from. But if you go, like, another 30 minutes in a different direction, it's actually very, it's a lovely state.
Okay.
It's just not where I'm from.
Okay. And you wanted to do or be what when you were in your late teens, early 20s?
So I, well, in high school, I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Okay.
Okay, because, you know, Jacques Cousteau, and, you know, he seemed like a fun guy.
Sure.
You know, had a great accent. That
right.
seemed something like I wanted one of those. But I went into the Coast Guard, and that taught me a couple things. One, I shouldn't be in the military.
Okay.
And two, that, you know, while I love the ocean, I don't think that's the future of my life.
Okay.
Seasick, whatnot, you know, not all the time, just on occasion, but enough to teach
did
me.
Did they call you a pussy?
No, for sure not.
They were very appropriate?
Well, no, they weren't that either, but I was the guy who, like, if there was a spirit mission, like, if you, like, if you had to paint graffiti or, like, do something, if there was an adventurous thing to do, I would do that.
Okay.
I would be the first guy to volunteer for anything.
Okay.
So definitely not a pussy.
But I'm saying, did they call you one for throwing up?
No.
That's what I mean, meant. I know you're not, Craig.
Well, no, but I'm saying,
I would never question your masculinity.
If,
especially in these toxic times we live in.
If I did, for whatever reason, get a bad rap for being seasick, I'd make up for it by doing something beyond stupid at the next port of call.
Okay.
And that would prevent me from being.
Okay. You know. I am now leaning back, ladies and gentlemen, because we're in a booth. Is this okay? Do you feel, is this just respectful?
We call this John Wilkes booth. So.
You did not just say that.
I did say that.
Did you really call this one that?
Yeah. That's what you're sitting in, John Wilkes booth.
Okay. What's that one?
No, we don't have a name for that one. Now, if you notice, there's a dude over here, and that's why it's, who is not John Wilkes Booth, that you point out, but it's
so like for like the waitresses or the staff rather.
Yes. So when because there's a portrait of an old timey fella right here, and it's a booth.
But don't you think it's interesting that I chose this booth?
I think this is the premier booth in the wall, because it's sort of center stage.
But it was dark and I didn't see this guy. So what does that tell you?
That you have instincts, my friend. Instincts.
Correct. I'm going to find the most comfy seat in the restaurant.
Yes.
And some people have this, like, I don't put my back to the door thing. And I don't know that I have that one. I just know where I want to sit. Like, when I get to it, like, my eyes just... I'm sure there's amazing psychology about that, about what people choose. But, you know, sometimes it seems like... Okay, let me ask you this. How does a place seat? Because sometimes they'll put you somewhere, and you're like, well, clearly that's three tables away from these other people, and I'd rather be there.
So, like many restaurants, we focus on a couple things. One, we want to make sure that we have sections.
Right.
So we have servers in various sections.
Right.
We want to make sure we're fairly equally distributive. Is that a word?
Sure.
I don't know. We distribute equally by person.
Right.
So as to provide the best service. So that's
right.
Normally how we see it, and inevitably that's often how restaurants will seat you. You're like, I want to sit there, but that's already somebody else's section.
Right. I get that. Yeah. No, I get that. And again, I wouldn't be like, well, hey, put me in the back where it's private. I mean, like, within reason, just like, right. This seems like the perfect booth, and you're putting me in the second perfect booth. I want the perfect booth.
Fair enough.
This is the perfect booth.
The cool thing about this room, we're in Boxcar, by the way, over here in the West End. We probably should have led with that, right?
I don't think we need to.
Or, you know, hey, I'm Craig, by the way, from Hop City.
Well, you know, this isn't the radio.
Well,
I know you've done a lot of radio gigs.
I do get radio.
But what happens is they open their phone, and it says Atlanta Podcast, and then next to it, it says Craig Torres.
Yeah, but they've never heard my voice.
Boxcar.
Yeah.
So then, and then when I introduce the show, I go, we're about to talk to Craig from Boxcar.
All right, fair enough. I thought they might get our voices confused.
I'm just saying.
See, I just want to make sure they know this is me, and that's you.
Okay. Again, on the radio, they have to, you know, every time they come back for a commercial, we're here with Craig Torres from Boxcar. Yeah. He's our expert on wine. This week, we're talking about Merlot.
And I'm on with Belinda Skelton, so it's...
I don't know who that is.
Oh, she's a longtime Atlanta radio fixture.
Oh, is she? I know Lois Reitzes.
She still doesn't say my name right, even though I've been doing... Oh, do you?
I don't know her, but I'm saying, like, that voice.
All right, let's be honest. How old is Lois Reitzes?
She sounds like she is going to fall out of the studio at any moment.
I get nervous listening to her on the radio just because of the voice.
Now, here's the thing. You can be in radio and have a distinctive thing, right? But... your feeling, my feeling, that can't be soothing to the listener to hear someone go, today on City Lights, Right.
I just literally want to run up to the studio and get a wheelchair and right. just be, or a walker or something.
We're
and be
being
like,
so unwoke right now. We're going to get.
Oh, I know.
And ageism and sexism, probably. But.
I'm 100% sure Lois writes as his fans will now no longer die in a boxcar. and I feel bad about that. But that, I mean, I love the show, Lois Wright's show. Don't get, I'm not hating
City
on her.
City Lights with Lois
It's just, I feel
this. What about Steve Inskeep?
Is there something wrong with Steve?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing out radio personalities
now.
Public radio personalities.
I don't have any specific reaction to his voice.
He's got a good one. He's got a good radio voice.
He's got a great voice.
Great radio voice.
Yeah.
People told me when I was a young man that I would have a great radio voice. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't start podcasting until I was 40 because... this is how it worked out for me.
So no one has ever told me I had a good radio voice, number one. And I definitely don't have a TV face. So
right.
What are my options for media?
Restaurateur.
Indeed. And that's what I do.
That's what's left.
Yes.
I can't believe we haven't talked. It's by default, really.
We clearly
get along smashingly. We're 11 minutes into this. I haven't asked you anything, but we're having a great time. Mm-hmm. And we don't chat enough. I know your wife.
Yes.
Your wife and I chat all the time. I see her everywhere. She's very distinguished.
She is. And
distinguished. Distinguishable. What's the word I'm looking for? You can spot her a mile away.
I was going to say easy to identify.
Correct.
Yes. She has a massive hair, way more hair than it's fair for one person to have.
Right.
And I have none at all. So, right. You know, I guess.
Can I see what's under the cap?
Yeah,
look at that.
Very, very little.
Right. So you can go under the radar, which I think is good if you want to be.
I hate to say this. You know, when you're young and you can back me up, we all wanted to be rock stars.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. You know, the front man, right?
Absolutely.
That was the cool
100%.
Gig. I wanted to be that guy.
Who wants to be the fucking bassist?
Indeed.
Who wants to be Bill Wyman?
Or the God forbid, like, let's say Black Sabbath, Bill Ward, right? Nobody wants to be that guy.
Nope.
Even though he was the best.
Right.
No, I wanted to be the front man. And now at 53, that's the last thing I want to be. Like, I want to be the last guy you notice in a restaurant.
Absolutely.
And I want to be sort of standing there, sort of quietly making sure everything is going exactly as it's supposed to go.
Right.
And it's just weird how that all happens over 30 years.
Yeah, well, so I'm 49. I'm about to turn 50. And it wasn't until I was like 47 or 48 that I realized how close 50 was. And all of these years are odd to hit, right? Like, obviously, when you're 30, you go, this doesn't feel like I thought 30 would. 40 feels the same way. However, the thought of I'm closer to the end than the beginning is a like that's a real thing.
I used to feel that way, but everyone's like, oh, you turned 50. It's not the same as turning 40. Honestly, it's all been the same. I try not to worry about the fragility of my mortality. Just go about my day and do my thing.
Well, I know that it's not. When I was 30, when you're 30, 50 still seems like old, and certainly when you're in your 20s, 50 is 100. But I'm saying, like, I'm very active. You know, I can say I'm in the best shape of my life. Like, really? I mean, in the last few years, like, this year might be a slightly more fat year. But you know what I'm saying? Like, overall, yeah. I'm definitely in better shape now than I was at 35 or 25.
I'm running, literally. I run more than I've ever run.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, yeah,
so that's
I pay
all,
more attention to it, though.
So that's all true.
Yeah.
But the impending death doesn't frighten you?
Not in the least. I feel so. The things I set out to do, I did. You know, we have a really wonderful team. We have 160 team members that help make Hop City and Boxcar and Barley Garden awesome every day. If I kick tomorrow, then so be it. Then it was my day.
Well, I'm not there yet, my man.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of what I've done. Like I'm a entrepreneur, business owner, and I'm super proud of what I've done. But I don't know. I feel like there's more stuff I could do. I don't know.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not hoping or wishing or, it's not like I'm stepping in front of traffic or anything. But at the same time, I've just chosen not to focus on that anymore.
Okay. Maybe I'll get there by 53.
It's magic. See, 50 is it. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't reach any epiphany at 50. Just that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think, my wife struggles with it more than me because she's actually, my wife is 6 months younger than me. So she turns everything I turn, but like, or 8 months later, actually. She just turned 49 yesterday, right? So to her, like, I think she doesn't like being close to 50.
Eileen's the same. I think it's, I don't know.
Like a woman thing?
Maybe, I don't want to say that, because then again, then I'll have...
You've already ruined your chances.
50% of the clients out there won't come.
You've already ruined all the Lois Wright's fans. So
I did. The octogenarian crowd will simply never dine here again.
Do you have senior discounts?
And an early bird special. No, we don't have any of those things.
Okay. I'm going to petition that you do.
Okay, I'll work on it.
I'm going to start one. So by the time I'm 60, when I come...
I have 10 years to figure this out. 10 years and a couple months.
I definitely remember I had a life. I did have a life-changing experience at a McDonald's. I know this sounds crazy. I definitely remember having a life-changing experience at a McDonald's. I must have been in my 20s. And I just remember the guy at the McDonald's. I don't really eat there anymore, but back then I did. I don't know why I needed to say that. But he put his hand down, you know, to get his change or whatever. And I definitely remember looking at his hand and thinking, like, my hand will look like that one day. And that frightened me.
Wow.
Like, just the spots and the weirdness. I don't know, dude. It just, maybe that was a, what do you call it? Like a anchoring thought in my brain. Because I just, I'm telling you today, that happened 30-something years ago.
I will say that clearly was, some sort of imprint. Yeah.
You didn't think this was going to be me working out all my shit interview, but this is truly what's happening.
This is awesome. Yeah, so what we didn't talk about, my secondary career, therapist. We're working this out. We're
right?
figuring it out.
Right.
Tell me more. How does that make you feel?
Say more about that. That'll be $200, please. Say more about that. How does that make you feel? That's all you do for a couple hours.
That really does
People
seem...
People just want to hear themselves talk, yeah. Dude.
All right, not to make any therapist angry. I just don't... I've never seen a lot of value in that.
Oh, well, see, I have.
Yeah. I mean, as the sharer of the information, I mean, personally.
Right. Well, again, I think you and I are very different. I highly recommend therapy.
Really?
The problem is, much like a good mechanic, you might take a few to find one. And with a mechanic, you can just go, you sound too expensive. I'll take my car somewhere else. With the therapy, you've invested in this time. Starting over, here's my problems. Here's what's going on.
So I guess my problem is I spend a lot of time in bars because I own... five of them.
Right.
Most of the therapy sessions I witness usually happen over 2 or 3 beers.
Right.
Between a bartender and a guest. So, you know, it just seems like a cheaper way to do that.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, why do we think the bartender is like our sensei?
I don't know that because I employ a lot of bartenders, and there are a lot of them I wouldn't share my feelings. I wouldn't count on. I would say. Thoughtful, sort of well-formed response to what's on your mind.
I'm going to ask you a question. So I spoke with, and now I can't think of her name. You know, she's so awesome. The woman who started, this is what happens. This is what happens at 49, man. The woman who started, what's the great breakfast place here in town?
Rhea?
Not Rhea.
R.I.P. That's my favorite breakfast place in town, even though Rhea's not with us anymore.
Right, and I never got to talk to her.
Oh,
but
gosh.
The other awesome lady. This is so embarrassing.
Oh, Delia.
Delia from?
From Delia's chicken sausage.
Prior to that.
And Flying Biscuit.
Flying Biscuit.
Phew,
so
we got there.
So I met Delia.
Right.
Fucking awesome.
I've met as well, and who's amazing. Well, and, also.
Well, we talked about this whole concept of the restaurant industry and... You know, the kind of folks that work at the restaurant industry. And she's like, listen, like, I know the kind of people, like, that I was going to hire because I was one of those people. Yeah. We party, right? So you can't fire someone, like just because they get high, basically.
Well, so, all right. So
I was like these were her compatriots. And then she was their boss. And she was like, I understand these people. And so, but she's kept employees super long time. And so that was a new concept to me because, like, I feel like that's, what am I trying to say? If people are on time and do a good job.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
And then once in a while they call you with some big drama. Like is it part of the cost of doing business? Cause she had an acceptance about it that seemed to really work for her is what I'm saying.
You seem
to disagree.
Well, I came from my background is not in restaurants. I actually describe myself as a reluctant restaurateur.
Okay. I'm a reluctant podcaster.
And there we are.
I don't want to fucking be here.
All right, that's it. Why did you just throw your mic down? That's not cool. I came from a business background. And so I started in the insurance world. I was a claims adjuster, claims manager.
Sexy.
Super sexy.
Is that where you met your wife?
No. We went to high school together. Yeah, no, we've been married 28 years. We've known each other 30-some, I lose track, 36, 35, long time.
Right.
Yeah. So I had this sort of business career.
Right.
And then I became a stockbroker. We don't call it that because that's not cool to do that.
What do you call them now?
Financial advisor.
Right.
Yes, because that's classier.
Right.
So I was a financial advisor. And then I opened my first business, which was a body shop.
Mechanics.
Yeah, I fixed cars. I didn't personally fix the car much as I used my insurance relationships to get customers and, insurance relationships.
Got it.
So, Collision Works Auto Body Experts on Cheshire Bridge. founded that back in 2003.
Is it still there?
Well, now it's a Gerber. It got gobbled up by a national company.
Okay, the baby food people.
No, different. Well, maybe. I mean, who knows?
It's interesting that I use the analogy of a mechanic, though, isn't it?
It is.
Once again,
I enjoyed that.
I'm so intuitive, yes. Right? I choose this guy. I just intuited that you were finding a good mechanic.
Yes.
Well, by the way, I use Roger Jordan Garage, by the way.
Oh,
big,
very
big
nice.
Fans of those folks over there.
Very cool.
Just want to give them a shout out.
I love it.
Go ahead.
$5 off your next brake service.
At your place?
No. At
no, no, I will not give them it. They won't give you that discount.
Damn it. I thought maybe we'd work a deal in for you.
Okay.
Like an unofficial sponsorship.
Well, So, by the way, I sometimes go in order, like you go sort of your life. Sometimes it goes all over the place. And I feel like there's an entire business model for the guys that sort of max out and don't, like, they can't even possibly see how they could get bigger, like a mechanic, right? They've got their guys. They're always busy. There's, like, my dad taught me early age, if there's a bunch of cars in the parking lot, it means they're good, right?
You don't, same just same like, with the restaurant.
Same with the restaurant, yeah. Right? So, but they're so fucking busy doing what they do, they could never bother to, like, do the SEO or, yeah. Right?
There's yeah,
like
I get that.
A tire guy, same thing. And, like, then he was gone, and I was so bummed out, and I was like, man, I would have loved, or maybe he got a big check and cashed out, but I would love to help those guys because, like, they're so busy, they couldn't possibly think about, what's that magic word that we all struggle with? Some of us struggle with. Scale.
Yes. No, I would say the vast majority of small business owners really wrestle with that.
Right.
And I know it's a sort of a cliche, but working on your business or in your business, that's a real thing.
Absolutely.
And if you do nothing but work in your business, then you're never going to get bigger.
Yeah. So I had a staffing company. That was my previous life. And I would be broke. Nothing in the pipeline. Holy fuck. Let's get on the phone. Start the pipeline. Right. Things start closing. Money comes in. And then 6 months rolls by and you've spent everything and it's, oh shit. So it's like the rule was like always have stuff in the pipeline. And I'm really good at like, let's go. I'm not really good at all the details of how we're going to let's go. And I've tried, I've listened to all the tapes. I went to seminars, I read the books and it's like, okay, what if you just did sales on Tuesdays every week, no matter what, right? Like just then you're always doing sales. And that lasts usually about a week or a month for me. And then, you know, I lived and died with, you know, the seasons.
So when we first opened Hop City, jumping ahead, Hop City beer, wine, retailer, that's all I did, beer, wine, home brewing, over in the West Midtown, I was the same way. I get up in the morning, you know, open the doors at 10 o'clock, and then when 10 o'clock the evening rolled around, I'd close the doors, and yeah.
Count the money?
And it's 6 days a week, because back then you couldn't buy beer on Sundays. So yeah, that's all I did, was just open the door, close the door, stock the shelves, do the sales, and I realized very quickly that, A, I'm going to die. Like, I'm never going to hit 50. That's not going to work out. But also, how do you grow? How do you, like, because you make a little bit of money, and you're like, gosh, I can just pay my mortgage this month. This is probably not the long-term solution. So I quickly realized I needed to delegate some of these responsibilities to somebody else.
Such as?
So I couldn't, I love ordering beer, right? So I just, like, figuring out what's new in the market and you know, reaching out to breweries and saying, hey, I see that you made this. Can I get some of that? That was my happy place. But if I was going to keep doing that, I couldn't go out and open another location, right? So, and I couldn't, you know, get the financing and do all the things that are boring but important to running a business. So I delegated that first, and then I put somebody else in charge of the homebrewing. I used to teach all the homebrewing classes. So okay. A number of breweries around town, they're people who own the brewery took my class.
Right.
I'm saying I'm responsible for the brewing scene in Atlanta. That's not what I'm suggesting.
Right.
But I love sharing my passion for homebrewing with other people. Couldn't do that anymore. So slowly over time, I had to give up the things that I really like to do so that I could ultimately do more of what I wanted to do, which is to say, share the gospel of beer with other people.
So what year did you open your first spot?
2009.
Okay. And where?
That was in on Marietta Street in West Midtown.
Okay.
Right across from Octane Coffee, which we missed that too.
R.I.P. Octane.
I know. Tony's still around. Tony Riffle.
Is he the owner?
He is. He founded that, and now Pancake Social is what he's doing now.
I've never met that guy.
He's awesome. You should do his. He should be your next guest.
Okay. Funny enough, I asked that question at the end of the podcast. Now I don't have to ask it.
Done.
I still will.
All right. We're going to clip all this together, though, so it's in the right order later on.
You know, if I had a producer, I could do that, but I don't. I'm really bad at scale. I'm really, really horrible at scale. And there's this thing about like, well, you gotta hire like when you're not quite there yet, because then you can grow into it.
For sure. And it's painful to do that because you're like, wow, I can't really afford, like, we have a marketing guy now. We've had a marketing guy for about a little over a year. And, you know, who was the marketing guy? This guy with the thumbs.
Right.
But we couldn't, you can't do this.
If I could get these just kids out of the house, I have three children.
Oh, I get that.
When that occurred to me, I'm going to tell you, Craig, because your kids are older, okay? Three kids, okay? 14, 12, 8. So at one point, they were, you know, 8, 6, and 2, right? And you're like, ooh, when I can get this last one out of diapers, that'll be awesome, right? All the money we're spending on fucking diapers, man. Can't wait for the incubator diapers. Just totally blind to the fact that older kids, especially boys, eat $300 in groceries a fucking week. Diapers are nothing. And I thought that was my biggest fucking hang-up and expense.
Well, and it's, then they're going to go off to college, and then they're going to want tuition money.
They will be cut off. You laugh.
Go
get a job, young man.
I said things like this too, but here's the compromise we made. So I have two kids at Georgia Tech,
right?
So that's inexpensive, relatively speaking.
State school,
yes,
right.
State school is the secret.
No, yeah, for sure. Well,
make them study so they can get those scholarships.
But make them study.
Come
you've
on,
never,
now.
You've never met my boys.
I have.
Okay, I'll bring them in here.
And you I don't want to meet them that well.
Okay. My daughter will probably get whatever she wants. My boys, we'll see. My daughter is super well behaved, helps around the house, essentially gets whatever she wants because she is. She's right?
Yeah. And my son is 22 going on 80. He's the old, he's just the most mature. He was always, even when he was like 6, 7, 8 years old, he was always the most mature kid in the room.
Yeah, my boys know. Boy's definitely not that.
And my daughter, not so much. But that's
interesting.
It's an older child, younger child thing in my mind.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. Okay, so let's back up.
All right, sorry.
So,
we're way off track.
So West Midtown, which I was gone from Atlanta for about 10 years. And when I came, maybe longer. See, I left in 96, came back in, yeah, like 10 years. And when I came back, there was this thing called West Midtown. And I was like, that's not a real thing.
It was a branding thing, you know. So Midtown, of course, very popular, high sales district. You know,
right.
Everybody wanted to live over there.
Right.
So the folks on the other side of the highway were like, wait a minute, that's not fair. We're Midtown too.
Right. But so, you're not. You're Bankhead or whatever.
Well, so they there was a branding effort. And
it worked. Yeah. I mean, it is West Midtown.
Yeah. So Annie Quattrano opened when she moved Bacchanalia out of Buckhead over to West Midtown before it was called West Midtown. That was really
the beginning
of that.
Right. What about the Optimist? That was one of the first ones too.
Well, Annie predated the Optimist quite a bit.
Oh,
by 7, 6, 7, maybe 10 years. It was a long time.
Okay, when I moved here in 07, the Optimist was like one of the better places to eat. I remember that. I went there once.
They were more or less across the street from me, but I believe they opened after I did.
Okay, and you were called what?
I was Hop City Craft Beer and Wine.
Okay.
So Octane was
I'm not familiar. Hop City, like H-O-P, like hop, like beers?
Are you
like,
being facetious?
No.
Because that's like you're in a hop city. Come on now. Yeah, no, our retail, all of our retail is Hop City. That's how that's our thing.
I know.
Okay. Gosh.
Got you there for a moment,
didn't I? You sure did.
Right. So you just sold beer and wine.
Beer, wine, and homebrewing supplies.
Okay.
And that is how we started.
Not a restaurant.
No, I didn't have any interest in being in the restaurant business.
Okay.
I really like beer a lot.
Right.
And I've learned to enjoy wine quite a bit, too. But
okay.
It's been an effort.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Let's skip straight to this question.
Yeah, of course.
Because I like to bounce all over the place. Has the opening a brewery, small brewery, like popped that bubble? Has that popped yet?
I think so.
Okay.
Now, that said, it depends on... So the business model changed dramatically about 5 years ago.
Well, right? When you could actually serve beer.
Correct. So back in the day, there were only 4 or 5 breweries in town, or even before that, it was 1 or 2 breweries in town. And that's mostly because you couldn't sell product at the... You could make beer... And you couldn't sell beer.
Right, you did the tour and the flights and the blah, blah, blah.
Right, you get the you
which I don't know how
tour.
That's profitable at all.
Oh, it was a terrible decision, yeah. But beer costs very little to make. And so if you could sell it for even $10, you sell the glass for $10, you get drink tickets, whatever the case may be. That was the old business model.
Right.
And all of your money was made selling to restaurants and bars and what have you.
Right.
Okay, so when the law changed and you could start actually literally selling glasses of beer at the brewery, that allowed breweries to be viable. Okay. And now it's a pretty saturated market, right? So where there are opportunities would be in those small sort of communities. Like if you were to open one up and say, well, gosh, everywhere I'm thinking of there already was one, but like you take a town like Roswell, okay? And it's a tight center of town. There's things to do. There are restaurants. You open a brewery there, like Variant, and all of a sudden all the folks from that neck of the woods, they will come and spend time and money at your place. That's where the opportunity is. Finding that next Roswell, Smyrna, Suwannee, etc. That's where the opportunity is. But otherwise, there's no point in opening a brewery right now.
Because there was, I feel like, I've lived in this. I moved into that house just across the street. I can say it now because I don't live there anymore. I'm not going to say it. White Street. When I moved there in 2015, mm-hmm. Monday Night Garage wasn't even open.
Correct.
It was coming.
Yes.
And then we heard like, oh, there's going to be like five more breweries opening. And I was like, oh, that's probably not what the neighborhood needs, blah, blah, blah. But clearly, this neighborhood has come up massively, right? The house that we rented, right, we were hoping to maybe eventually buy or buy in this neighborhood. We had to buy 2.5 miles down the road in either Westview or we're not sure what it's called. It's on the East Point border, Westview or that other name.
Right.
I can't think of the other one, but... it's much cheaper.
But that all said, that neighborhood will eventually look just like this neighborhood.
Sure, but the convenience of the Beltline, I could wake up and take my kids and walk here and blah, blah, blah,
right.
And go running here all the time. But we love, trust me, we love our house. We love our house. So we're not, but I'm just saying that like this neighborhood has come up a ton and you guys are all still here. I thought some things like nobody's, like they can't all last. They can't all last, but so far you guys have all lasted, and they're building a whole restaurant thing now down there, right? Are you
That's
investing
correct.
In that? Are you going to open a spot down there? Or?
God, no. No.
No.
No.
You say God, no.
Well, so I own three restaurants.
You don't want to open anymore.
Oh, I'm good now. I mean, I might eventually, but for the time being, I'm in a happy place.
Right.
And like right now is a terrible time to open a restaurant. That's a whole different story. But
right.
Just between food costs and labor costs and
right.
keeping
if,
everybody healthy.
It's right, but if
been,
you've but if you've bought space over here and you've got plans, right?
Right. So this is insider tip. I signed a lease here.
Right.
A 10-year lease with a 10-year option.
Okay.
Way, way, way below market.
Got it.
Because there was nobody here.
Right.
All right. So Monday Night Garage had opened.
Right.
And they were anxious to make, like you said, a thing, a district, an attraction. So they enticed me with a rent rate that I couldn't possibly match now.
Got it.
And so were I to want to open a restaurant, even the next building over, I would pay considerably more to do that.
Right. Got it. So when is your 10-year option up?
Well, I think I have 17 more years. So I'm good.
How is it 17 more years?
We've only been here 3 years.
You've only been here 3 years?
Yeah. No, it's not even our third year anniversary is in March.
God, I feel like you've been here forever.
Well, COVID did that to you. A COVID year is like a dog year, right?
No, so I realize that, but I told you, this is not a lie. You're the only place I eat. I've tried these other places. They're not good.
Aw.
And it's unfortunate. I want to give them my business, right? But it's not.
And, well, and also, insider tip, we have a menu change coming on the 3rd, on January 3rd. So by the time this podcast drops, you will see new and exciting things
right,
on the
well,
menu.
Let me tell you this, okay? Yeah. And I'm not asking you to throw anybody under the bus. I just want to get the straight dirt from you because you seem like a straight shooter.
I am.
So I interviewed what's-his-name for Monday night, Joel?
Joel. Joel's awesome.
Met Joel, and they didn't serve food, and they had food trucks, and we had had... I put on this race around the Beltline.
Yeah, I remember.
Right?
Yeah.
I said, can we have a food truck there so I can serve my people food? And they didn't show up. And he was like, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. And I'm like, that happens all the time?
All the time.
How is that possible? How is, in a world where you're not going to get more business if you don't show up, how is that a real thing?
So the food truck business is, you talk about a...
Well, that bubble burst a while ago.
Well, a seat of your pants kind of business when you think about it. So the truck doesn't always work. You can't run a truck by yourself, so you always have to have a guy. But you don't have a full-time job for that guy, so he probably has a job in two or three other kitchens. And so you wake up one morning saying, I'm going to do this great race around the Beltline, fire up the food truck, and then you call your guy, and he's like, oh, no, I had to pick up a shift at such and such.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you have no crew anymore.
Right.
So, no, it's a tough business.
Interesting.
It's one of those businesses where everyone's like, oh, shit, I could do a food truck. No, it's way harder than you think it is.
Well, it seems difficult, and tough to scale, right? Like, you can only serve so much food, and you can only serve so many people at a time. And
well, and think about that one guy, how unreliable he is. Now you have three food trucks, right? And now you have to now it's like eight guys,
right?
And you're the only one who owns the joint, so it's tough,
right? Okay.
So that is so we in Birmingham, our second store was in Birmingham, Alabama. It's 9 years old now, which is shocking to me. Not over 9 years old. And I've been driving to Birmingham every week for...
I just heard you take a call about Birmingham.
Yeah, not 9 years. And I love it. Magic
Do you know
City.
That Sailor Sam went to Birmingham?
yes, I did know that, yes.
Or he came from Birmingham.
As did... what's her name? We're making references to songs.
Well, you were supposed to give me the line, and then you'd really be in the cool club. But you failed.
I did. I blew it.
Do you know what the line is?
That's a T-Rex song? No.
Sailor Sam came from Birmingham, but he never will be found. That line?
Oh.
Helen Wheels by Paul McCartney and Wings.
I totally blew it.
Helen Wheels.
I think it's a different Birmingham, though.
Oh, it's a very different Birmingham, yes. But anyway.
See, I was thinking about Black Betty, who's from Birmingham.
Oh, okay.
But that's this Birmingham. That's
Got
it. That's the local Birmingham.
Right.
So
Got it.
Different song.
Got it.
Okay, cool.
Is that by, whatchamacallit?
That's by Ram Jam.
I thought it was by... What was that?
Well, it's been remade a couple times, but
right.
Originally, I think they also remade it, if I remember.
But wasn't
correctly.
But what about like maybe like Atlanta Rhythm Section or one of those bands?
Oh, maybe. I can't speak to that. I don't have any Atlanta Rhythm Section albums.
Hey Siri.
Oh Lord.
Who's saying Black Betty?
To do that, you'll need to turn on.
Well, thank you, Siri. This is just fun. Hey Siri, who's saying Black Betty? Okay. Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Okay.
Gratefully, there are a lot of songs that reference Birmingham, so we could play this game all day. But yeah,
Siri
Birmingham.
Proves you're right.
Oh, well, it, you know.
By the way, at age 49, that's the only thing I use Siri for, is who sang and call my wife. I'm driving, so I don't have to
Yeah, I use Siri.
Phone.
Siri makes all my calls, but mostly I use Siri. Like, I watch almost no TV because I work a lot.
Right.
But when I do watch TV, I'm always like, who is that actor? And so that's where Siri comes in.
You say, who's that actor?
Like I'll be like, I'll look up the show I'm watching, and then I'll find the actor, and I'll be like, oh, that's right, I saw him in such and such, like, 18 years ago.
But you don't just Google that? You actually Hey Siri it?
Yeah.
You say, Hey Siri, who's that actor?
No, I'll say, Hey Siri, who is the cast of whatever I'm
watching? Oh, got it.
Yeah,
got
no,
it.
Siri's very helpful in...
Right. Yeah, I just... For
ridiculous
me
trivia things.
For me, it's who sings, and then the other way around, you can...
Oh, Shazam something?
Well, no, but she has her own Shazam.
Yeah.
You just go... What song is this?
Yeah.
And sounds like, and she'll say, and then, I don't get this whole, like the Alexa thing. Like, my impression of anybody ever who has Alexa is like, Alexa, turn on the lights. Alexa, turn on the lights. Shit, it's not working. Alexa, turn on the lights. Like, you went through all this trouble. It works half the time. What's the point?
Yeah, I don't have an Alexa.
Of course you don't, because you're my age, and we don't fucking need it.
Well, that is...
Because you can do this.
It just seems creepy.
Audio listeners, I just flip the switch with my right hand.
I've seen too many of those 2001, and, you know, like, the robot always wins, and I just don't... I don't want any part of that in my house.
Neither do I.
Yeah, no, I'll turn on my own goddamn lights.
Right. I also don't have Bluetooth. Because anybody I've ever called on Bluetooth is like, hang on a second. What? Hang. Well, it's connected to my car. Hang on a second. Wait. Hang. It's like, how is that helpful? I use these. Audio listeners, I'm holding up the basic iPhone headphones. They work every fucking time.
All right. So I am guilty of the Bluetooth. So
okay.
My B. Sorry about that. but in my defense, I spent a lot of time in the car driving from location to location. So I spent a lot of time on the phone.
I love that you said my B. We used to say that. Nobody says my B anymore.
Yeah, you know, I'm old.
I know, but I love it. But I'm saying...
I'm hoping it comes back in one day.
But when you're on the phone, are you spending half your time going, hang on, it's connected. Wait, shit. Oh, it connected to my house. Are you doing that?
I'm not saying that's never happened. but no, hopefully not. Hopefully.
You need to be hands-free. I get it, man. Yeah. You're busy. You're like, you're like turning on Bunsen burners, right? When you're making beer, right?
Well, gratefully, nobody allows me to make beer hardly anymore.
The face he just made when I said Bunsen burners was pretty awesome.
Good times. I forget what we were talking about. Birmingham. Oh, second location. Oh, what was it? There was something to this. Oh, food trucks. That
right.
was the jumping off point, food trucks. So we do food trucks there.
Right.
And I would echo Joel's sentiment.
So then you have to go with two is one and one is none and just order three of them and just like, let's hope two of them show up.
Well, then that gets pretty shitty pretty quickly.
Why would that get shitty?
Well, because now you have two, and you're like, but you only have a spot for one truck. And
oh.
Yeah, and now you're like, sore, dude. And then,
well, this building, this thing's plenty big.
it's awkward, you know. It's the food truck thing. If you're reliant on food trucks, it's, you know, there are things out of your control that are tough.
Well, like, I go to a lot of races, and races, that's a thing.
It is.
And so they'll have like three sitting there, right? And I've also been to places where there's one because two didn't show up. And I'm like, well, fuck it, order five. And like, let, you know, like, you want to make money? Fucking be there.
Well, then the next time you want to book a food truck, none of them show up because you booked too many last time. And it's, I see all sides of this.
Okay, I'm not here to argue.
I know. Okay? I'm sorry.
I'm not here to argue. We're not here to argue the facts. Or what do you say in court? We are here to argue the facts.
Which is probably
exactly why we're here.
Yeah, that's why neither of us are lawyers.
Have you been sued?
Have I been sued? No, I don't think I have.
Have you been deposed?
I have not been deposed.
Okay, you've led an interesting life. I was deposed recently. We'll talk about that later. Fascinating. Okay.
Nice.
You think it looks easy. Like you see it on TV and you go, oh, that's easy. It's not.
Right. Well, I think I may be mistaken. I think back when I was 19, actually, I was in the Coast Guard. I was deposed for a traffic accident.
Okay.
That was, so yes, it's been since I was 19.
Okay, long time ago.
I showed up in my my uniform, and needless to say, the case went much better.
Oh, right, because you got the whole crisp uniform.
Exactly. Oh, wait, that guy looks pretty fancy.
Can you fit in it today?
No. No, I cannot. Close. Okay.
So your first location is West Midtown. Your second location is not a burb or Fayetteville. It's fuck it. Let's go all the way to Birmingham.
Correct.
Because?
Well, back to Tony Riffle, your next guest. So Tony and I were our friends. We still are friends. And he had an Octane Coffee across the street. And he was, Craig, why don't you open a Hop City in Birmingham? I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. He's like, I'm opening an Octane Coffee over there. I'm like, why? Well, let's get in the car. So he literally made me get in the car. We drove all the way to Birmingham. And I'm like, holy
and they were
shit.
And they were still using outhouses.
It's a cool city. So for those of you in Atlanta who haven't been to Birmingham, it's a city of about 1 million people.
Okay.
All right. So significantly smaller.
Right.
And it's a great restaurant scene. There's a lot of they have a Buckhead. It's not called Buckhead, but they have a fancy place with a lot of people with money. But they don't have a lot of the cool things that we've come to just appreciate all the time. Right,
like a brewery, like a cool coffee shop.
Right, exactly. Like
a wine and sip.
The coffee
paint
scene was behind, and there was literally there's no Hop City, and that. So I'm like, I see it. You're right. They need a beer place. So sure enough, I made it happen.
How many names did you go through before you landed on Hop City?
So whenever we name something, I have a process.
Okay.
So I will spitball maybe 100 names.
Okay.
And so from that 100 names, I'll run it by my wife and be like, okay, which of these suck the worst? And then we'll cross out about 80 of those. But we usually land on about 20 good ones or okay ones.
Right.
And then we'll literally go around to strangers and be like, hey, of these 20 names, which speaks the most to you?
Right.
And that's how that works. So we get down to three. Three goes to one. There you go.
Okay. I want to know what the other two were.
Oh, gosh. That was a long time ago, dude. I honestly couldn't even remember.
Then this interview is over. How about the last three for Boxcar?
Okay, so there were a lot of one item and ampersand and another item.
Well, that's the hipster thing.
And everybody's doing that, Butcher and Brew, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's an app called Hipster Name Generator.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I don't have any apps on my phone. I'm old.
Well, it's just a website.
I'm joking. yeah.
Look up hipster name generator and you'll see. And you can't tell what's a real one and what's not.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, so there were a few of those.
A lot of, I think every other name on that list was like, so when we named, Barley Garden, for instance, so Kevin Oots, have you ever interviewed Kevin Oots? All right, he's your next, after you do Tony, you're going to interview Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin owns the Spotted Trotter, also super cool dude.
Spotted Trotter Cartouchery?
That's the one, Cartouchery.
Now, would you believe I was at their old spot in Kirkwood.
Because I really dug that spot.
I used to live in Kirkwood.
Yeah.
That little thing never became a thing, even though that neighborhood is hopping.
I like that neighborhood. We Eileen and I, we recently downsized our home, you know, because the kids off in college and whatnot.
Right.
And we thought that was going to be the neighborhood.
Little spot.
That sort of section there.
The downtown Kirkwood, those restaurants have thrived. And again, I didn't think they all would, but so far they're all still there. Yeah.
And they didn't. The first iteration of Kirkwood, 8 years ago, not so much. Those all went out of business or changed hands.
Well, yeah. I mean, so when I lived there, we didn't know. We seem to have a great nose for move here and it gets really expensive 5 years later. So we moved to Kirkwood, golly, 08, and we bought a house in 2010. And then, real talk, we actually lost that house. Long story for another time. I closed a business, opened a new business. And but in the meantime, the house gained value, so we got some money out of it. And then we moved here, again, bottom of the market, and now it's blossoming. But we didn't have enough to like invest in these markets. That would have been the move. But we've never gotten that far ahead as we discussed scale and having enough money to pay the mortgage and then some. But anyhow, but all those restaurants, the old ones are gone, but the three or four that have been there are still there.
Agreed. They had to it just
not Elmir. What's the name of it?
El Tesoro is not the one there. There's two taco places. You're talking about the taco place.
Yeah, the big one. It's
yeah.
Elmir is the one in Little Five, but the other one, which I've been to many times,
right?
Can't think of the name of it. Anyway,
I could swear it's El Tesoro, but
it's not El Tesoro.
Oh, come on, dude. You might. I mean, hey Siri.
Just keep talking.
In any event, well, I forget where we were going with this. Anyway, oh, Birmingham. Birmingham's an awesome city. Just so many cool things, and that's why we ended up over there. But that was prior to my restaurant ambitions, so we don't have a restaurant there. So when we want to do food, it's a food truck.
El Mariachi.
Oh, that's right, El Mariachi. El Tesoro is the other one.
Don't fuck with me, all right?
Yeah.
I fucking know my shit.
You're right. I mean, that's no Ram Jam, but it's...
Fuck with me on fucking Kirkwood. Fuck's sake.
You're right, El Mariachi. I eat there all the time. And
as do I.
Yeah, so I should know the name of it.
Right. But, it's a kid-friendly place.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I really... the food's good.
Right. No, yeah. The food is good.
Yeah.
Which is funny, though, the vibe of that place compared to Elmir, which is Little Five and a little, little dingy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't bring the kids there.
Yeah, I've eaten there, too. And
But not with your kids.
Well, no. Well, even if I did now, like my son is like 6'2", and yeah, so it'd be okay.
Right. Anyway, so it's still a risk, right? Are we too soon on this, on the Birmingham thing? Just like this neighborhood, for example, it's still a risk. Like you don't. I mean, do you have some sort of economic markers? Because every town is like, oh my God, you need to come here because we're going to be huge, and then that doesn't always work out.
Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, I do a lot of homework. I'm super planny. Like I love to have I have business plans and economic forecasts, and I do a lot of planning.
Okay.
I am not a seat of the pants kind of guy.
Okay.
I know I seem fun, but I'm not.
Okay.
No fun at all.
I need to partner with a guy like you. I'm 100% seat of my pants.
Yeah. So we did a lot of homework on Birmingham, and we were very particular about the neighborhoods we wanted to be in. So, We opened in Pepper Place. It was actually my second choice. I wanted to be in Homewood first, which I know I'm saying to things people won't care in the least.
Well, if they've been to those areas, they might.
Yeah. But it was because I felt there was enough development on the books coming down the pike that there'd be a neighborhood to support our business, and it was near other... It's really always important to me to be near other similar businesses, not in beer, but high-end, same clientele. So we ended up opening in Pepper Place, where they have a farmer's market, and that was really a big part of why we were successful.
Got it.
So people kept coming, whether it was for us or otherwise. And yeah.
And you're driving there how many times a week?
Just once a week. Now, these days, it's every 10 days or so.
Okay. Man, that seems like a pain.
Yeah. I mean, better than not following up on my investment.
I mean, I yes. Okay. So then when do we get into this place? 3 years ago? That's it?
That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
So the building we're in now, it dates back.
COVID was 2 years ago? Or no?
Yeah, we were a year in when COVID hit.
Okay.
We were only a year in. And really, we hadn't, the neighborhood hadn't really kicked off yet.
Nope.
And so we were, I'll be honest, we weren't, this location was not making money. It still isn't really making money, but we were definitely not making money at the time. And we had just started to reach that critical mass. I'm like, oh my gosh, this January was amazing. February is amazing. I think we're finally doing it. And then March happened. And so everything shut down. And I was, you know, if it wasn't for the government, like the PPP loans, we wouldn't be here right now.
So before you got those, I don't know how much time there was. A few months, I guess?
Yeah, a couple months.
Were you really freaking out?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a worrier by nature. So, yes, I couldn't sleep. This nonstop worry. We had made the decision early on to pay our team.
Right.
So we didn't furlough anybody. Like, I know a lot of restaurants were like, oh, sorry, dude. We didn't play that. So everybody was earning a paycheck as much as we could pay them. It was not their normal paycheck.
No, of course. But something's better than nothing.
Right. And And honestly, I wasn't sure how much longer I could do that, because early on, the government didn't say, hey, we're going to give you money.
Right.
It was just, yeah, we'll figure it out. It's only a couple weeks. And you remember that? 2-3 weeks, we'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, I'm grateful PPP was incredibly helpful. And that allowed me to continue giving everybody a paycheck and eventually reopen.
But when did you reopen, quote unquote?
So we never really officially closed.
Yeah, I do remember I came to the window a few times.
Yeah, so
quote unquote window.
Yeah, so we closed the restaurant proper. Retail remained open, limited capacity with masks required. And then we started doing a butcher shop downstairs. So we started buying whole cows, whole pigs, and started rendering them upstairs and selling, you know, cuts of meat out of sort of impromptu butcher.
I don't think I knew this about you, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. We had a little butcher stand out 3 times a week. It was just something
just
we could
red
do.
Meat only?
No, red meat, white meat, chicken. We
I would have bought some from you.
Yeah, and we probably did a terrible job advertising that.
Yeah, clearly, because I would have done it. Because we eat a lot of turkey, right?
I don't think we had turkey. So
and chicken. We
that's
eat a lot of
why. We had the wrong poultry. It's our fault.
We eat a lot of turkey and chicken. You know, turkey meat, you know, like ground, you know, I mean, like instead of, but I'm saying I would have, if even if I had chicken, I would have been like, well, hey, let's support the neighborhood.
Right.
You know, I mean, I would have happily done it.
Well, and we did that because all of our farmers were like, I don't know what to do, because they sell to restaurants and restaurants were buying anything. So
right. We'd
buy their produce and we bought the meat and then we
did you hire a butcher?
Oh, well, our chef was a butcher.
Okay.
It was Chef Carson. He that was his, really, he wanted, if he could do anything in the world,
that's what he would have done.
He probably would have been a butcher.
Okay.
So he didn't mind, and that kept our team a little busy, and so we did that, and then eventually we were able to open a very limited menu through the to-go window, but yeah, we never really closed.
Yeah, I definitely ordered from the to-go menu.
Yeah, and it was pretty ugly. It was, you know, we'd have, oh, we had a great day today. We had 400 in sales. So
did you have a burger in there?
Yeah, we had
did
a burger.
Did you have some fries in there?
We had fries.
Well, that's
on
all
it.
You fucking need, man.
Yeah, I agree. But our burger and fries were not the same as going to, say, like a Wendy's. You know, it was, I mean, it was more expensive. Like, it was.
Honestly, it's actually different than Wendy's. I mean, I had no idea. No, I know that. I eat here.
But I'm saying it was. So if you remember back then, nobody wanted to leave the house. Everyone wanted to do a drive-through. You know, everyone's worried about money.
Right.
So selling a $10 burger and fries as opposed to like a $3.99 burger and fries was, like, we were not.
Did you do a lot of Grubhub type business or no?
So we were on Grubhub. We still are, actually. It's funny. Uber Eats has become, like, even after everyone felt good about going out, has been fairly robust for us.
So
I'm shocked by that.
So I went to Fred's on Krog Street because nice. I used to work over there, and
I love that. That's a great burger.
I gained like easily 20 pounds when I was eating there 3 times a week. I had to stop eating there 3 times a week. But when I things were back, you know, by, let's see, what month are we in now? By July, August, things were back. 2021, things were back. You could eat places.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
right.
That sounds
like,
about right.
Like, wear the mask, you come in the door, take it off when you sit down, which really makes no sense, but we were doing it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they still had the bars, the seats removed.
Correct.
And I said, why do you still have the seats removed? Like, I love coming here and sitting and enjoying my sandwich. And they said, we do so much fucking Grubhub. We just lay all the food out, and we don't have room. Like, it's unbelievable how much of that we do now. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a bummer. I wonder if it's still that way now that it's another 6 months later. But they said it took over their life.
So, you know, we have a spot at Krog Street Market.
Right.
And so it was the parking lot. We'd have almost no guests in the building, and yet the parking lot was 2/3 full, and it was all delivery drivers.
Right.
And because there's 6 different places or 8 different places to buy to-go food.
Right.
And you're right, Grubhub, they might as well just called it Grub Street Market, because it was...
Grub Street Market.
Yes.
Great name.
Which also doesn't quite ring, you know, as great on the marquee. But yes, it was a thing. And we started doing delivery of wine and beer, and same story. We'd just,
Well, that at first, that was not legal.
Yeah, when it became legal,
you're like, fuck yeah!
October of 2020.
Right, and then it was like, hey, let's do a thing.
Yeah. So, and then lately, it's been nothing at all, but I suspect January will pick up again.
So do we think? We think by January we'll be out of whatever we're in?
No, I think people will be getting wine delivered and beer delivered to their house again. Like, this is a weird 2 weeks, because we went from feeling completely okay to all of a sudden, you know, the Hawks have 13 guys with COVID and they can't field a team.
But the good news is everybody, it's a lot of asymptomatic people.
Correct.
And at this point, are we just like, hey, every year everyone's going to get this like the flu and we move on?
I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. Four to 6 weeks from now, we'll be out of this particular wave.
But I'm saying you must sit in meetings, in restaurateur or beer people meetings. You guys must talk about these things. What's the word?
Well, we're really.
I feel like a reporter now. What's the word?
All right, Jim. And back to you. No, So right now, full disclosure, we have 16 team members out of our 160 with COVID.
Okay.
Across the platform.
How often are you testing them?
Pretty much every day. I mean, it's just a nonstop, as much as we can get tests.
Do you stick things up their noses?
I don't know.
They do it themselves?
Self-administered, yeah.
I'm not
a nose sticker.
Do you buy their kits for them?
When we can find them. It's hard to find kits right now. It's almost impossible.
Right.
But we know we have X number of team members with COVID. We try to run multiple shifts so that we have an A team and a B team. And that way, when somebody goes down with COVID on the A team, I can sort of quarantine like one group of people and not have to quarantine everybody.
But if I don't know, if nobody's like dying from it, can't we just be, like I said, it's like the cold and just deal?
I don't know.
You or I could be carrying it right now.
It's like, true.
And I could test tomorrow and be positive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right. We've provided incentives for our team members to be vaccinated. Vast majority of them have chosen to be vaccinated, although some, like every business, everyone has a handful of people who aren't.
Right.
No, I don't know. I wish I had a crystal ball, but at the same time, I think 4 to 6 weeks from now, it'll feel a lot safer.
I mean, we did say that in March of 2020, so I really hope that that's the case.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to get COVID in a very short period of time, and then I think it'll subside, and then another variant will come along, and right, we'll do it all over again.
That's what I'm saying. So at some point, we got to just live, right? I'm triple vaxxed, but at some point, we got to just be like, all right, this is the thing people are going to get. We're not dying anymore. The hospitals aren't filled.
Yeah, I it all makes me very nervous. As a business owner, it makes me very nervous. I worry way less. So what we found in our pandemic, it's helpful. I'm a big fan of diversification. The retail side of our business really carried us through the pandemic. And then as things started feeling really good again, our retail started to really suffer, but our restaurants really filled up. We were at capacity. So we're prepared for the ups and downs of this because we know you're either going to drink in or drink out, right? You're not going to, I mean, I hope. I suspect at times that such as they are, people are going to keep drinking. So,
serious. When did you open Croc Street?
Croc Street, oh gosh, that would have been 2000. Dead air, that's bad.
It's fine.
2014?
It's easy to edit out silences.
Oh, thank God.
I edit out very little, but silences are easy.
2013.
Okay. So... And what was that like then? I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember what.
Well, it was super popular when we first opened.
Right.
Like everybody wanted to go to Croc Street. Ponce wasn't open yet.
Right.
Ponce was coming soon.
Right.
So we were the first real food hall in Atlanta.
Right.
And it was just you ever watch Mad Max? The Thunderdome.
Yes, of course.
You remember the scene in the Thunderdome where everyone's just kind of milling around and that's what it looked like on a Saturday.
Right.
Like people just ripping food out of each other's hands. It was no seats. like you would, people would literally be sitting on the floor in corner, like anywhere they can find a wall spot and eating their like Freds.
Got it.
It was scary to be that popular, and I was hoping it wouldn't be quite that popular all the time. And now, of course, there's 17 food halls in town, and so now it's not so popular at all. And they're doing construction. The landlords, it's been acquired by a different landlord a couple of years back, and they own a large chunk of Atlanta, and they're just anxious on increasing their property value. So they've busted a hole. They've kicked out Rathbun's, so that Rathbun's is gone. That was really why are we at Croc Street Market? Rathbun's was there a decade before anybody else.
Right.
And that place was awesome.
Right.
And I mean, it still is, because now you can go to Rathman Steak and it's right there. But anyway.
Right.
So if you go down the Beltline now, you'll notice there's a bunch of fences and there'll be a pass through into Croc Street Market directly from the Beltline. But that's not going to open until the summer.
Interesting. So
what I'm saying is it's not so popular.
But what I noticed, you know, being there off and on, I've rented office space there off and on over the last few years, is that the restaurants in there don't seem the same amount of turnover as any place else. I would think that they would, like, stay, but other than Fred's, Yala, and Ticonderoga, like everything else just like swaps out.
So there I would describe as like Goose has been there since the day one. Like there's a handful of places that have been really successful.
Okay.
And not surprising, it's Mexican food, Chinese food,
right.
Burgers, like
you can't right.
Yeah. And pizza, all of those are crushing.
Right.
But like Kevin Utz had a place there, a charcuterie place. That went out of business.
Right.
The original, gosh, what was that one called? It's now Watchman's. That went out of business. That was the first restaurant there, a French restaurant.
Right.
I'm embarrassed. I don't remember what that was
it's
called.
Okay. Can I tell you a Goose story?
Sure, please.
So I used to mix it up. The coffee places stayed.
Coffee place, yeah, Little Tart.
But didn't they get bought by the other? Or was it the other way around?
No, I think that's still Little Tart. I mean,
okay. Yeah. I thought maybe they. So, I like to spread my money around. Again, I used to work there. I'd spread my money around.
That's what I've heard about you.
You know, you don't eat lunch. Even though it was so hard not to eat at Fred's every day and just have the special or have what, just like, I'm going to try this today. I'm going to try this today, whatever it was. So I went to Goose. And, you know, a lot of places say, like, you know, you look at their spicy thing and you're like,
I know the story.
And you're like, whatever. Like, that's like, I'm sure it's whatever. It's never spicy. It's never, you take it the hottest one and it's like super average. And I'm like, I'm going to take this one with the four things on it.
Oh, yeah. Big mistake.
I could not finish the plate.
Yeah.
My face was on fucking fire. I was like, they are not fucking around at Goose. Do you know what dish? I forget the name of it.
Yeah, so they did the eggplant fries. Is that what you got?
I honestly can't remember. I just know that I literally could not finish.
They've toned it way down because I am also, I'm of Mexican descent. I love spicy things. And holy cow, that.
Are you correct, Torres?
Sí. I couldn't finish it either. It was like, and I love, like, I'm like, this is. Like and the worst part is you love it, right? You're like, oh my God, this is delicious.
But I can't eat it.
And then you'd be like, ow. And
right.
You stick more in your mouth because you're an idiot.
Right.
At least I am.
No, for sure.
I'm not implying that you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. I like to put hot sauce on the stuff.
I'm talking about myself.
My son's the same way. Jackson is 12. Since he was like 8, he would eat hot fries and he loves all that garbage.
Yeah, I can't get enough.
His teeth are rotting out of his head. That's another story.
But yeah.
We have big dental bills.
They are now at a point where they've toned it down. Goose, by the way, I used to go to Goose back when they were only in the Doraville or
they're a chain,
Buford
right?
Highway. No, it's just two locations.
Oh, okay.
And so it's the best. It's so good.
Right.
Okay. The big fat noodles, man. Get them.
Oh, so I get the Don Don.
Ah, nice call.
Right. That's every time.
Yeah.
Shake it. She got to shake it up because they put the little stuff on top. You got to shake it up, spread it around. So what's interesting, though, the guy that owns Fred's, you got to know him, right?
I do.
What's his name?
Oh, gosh.
That guy.
It'll come to me in a second. I judged Chomp and Stomp side by side one year.
Side by each?
Well, we ate chili next to each other.
Nice.
So I, spicy things.
Okay, so I got asked to judge chili contest once. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever, right? Like I met one of the guys that ran the chili thing, and I was like, do you want to be a judge? I'm like, this has to be the best job ever. Not realizing you get full pretty quick, and then it's the worst job ever.
I've judged it 4 or 5 times at this point. And it does seem, well, the coolest part is they keep handing you beer to drink. So that part's pretty
cool. Well, awesome. I'm not a big drinker, so.
Oh, well, why are we talking?
Exactly. Because I love your food.
Oh, thank you. I love, anyway, we're way off on a tangent. But he was the chef over at, speaking of West End, right across the street. What was the burger place called? Bacato. So he, gosh darn it, it's going to come to me in 2 seconds. Anyway. I hope he can edit it out because he'll listen and he'll be like, come on, Craig, you know my name.
I'm not going to edit this out. God. Anyhow, we were supposed to interview. It didn't happen. I went over to the place, the dining hall across from Tech.
Right.
And we were supposed to meet at the one.
Yeah, which was his brainchild.
And that didn't last.
No.
Are you surprised?
No. I'm not surprised.
Then why would he open that? He seems like a bright guy.
Well, so on paper, it seemed like a good idea, but
college students are broke and they don't want to eat there.
Yes, nailed it. Exactly. It's not a. It doesn't scream. I'm going to get like blackout drunk, right? So college kids want either cheap food
or
a lot of copious booze. If you're trying to be more refined, which they were, who's your client? Parents when they're in town.
But again, you see this. How would he not see this?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. So where have they had success? So, you know, obviously they're crushing it over by Emory, and I think maybe that led to some of that decision.
Oh, because like, yeah.
But their client there isn't an Emory student, or if it is, Emory has way more money, but it's mostly the CDC across the street.
Aha.
So, anyway, or the hospital, which is one block over. Like, so maybe they were lured in by the proximity to college. I don't know.
Yeah, because nothing's even there now. Before that, it was a blah blah place. It was run by Blaze had a place there.
He did, yes. That's correct. And the funny thing is, had they waited a little bit, with all the new offices that are over there now.
Now you think it has a shot?
Now, and of course, no one's in offices. But once we clear this pandemic thing in 2062,
right?
I think it's a winner.
All right, I want to wrap up. I always wrap up with these Atlanta questions. However, my battery's about to be dead, and I don't want it to end in the middle. Now we're just going to keep talking. Yeah, we're just going to keep talking. Because if we stop, it stops the flow, and I hate stopping the flow. All right, are you ready for the Atlanta favorites quiz?
Let it rip.
Okay. What is your go-to order when you visit the Waffle House?
You're going to hate me. I hardly ever go to Waffle House.
Okay, but...
But if I do, I always get waffles.
Okay.
And I don't get the hash browns.
Okay.
So I don't have a smothered...
Totally
covered,
acceptable.
Yeah.
Acceptable answer. These are all your opinion. There's no wrong answers.
No, I just love, sort of eggs over medium and waffles.
Beautiful, beautiful. Other than your own spots, what is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Ooh, that is a good question. So I'm going to give you two answers.
I allow people to.
Okay, so Gun Show is my single favorite. Like, if I am allowed to pick the restaurant, I go to Gun Show.
You ready for a fun fact?
Yeah, please.
First guest on the Atlanta podcast.
Really, Kevin? Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. It's just the very idea of, like, sort of a competition on a nightly basis. Love that. Can't get enough of that.
Right.
However, my wife is vegan.
Mm.
So I'm not allowed to go there very often, mm-hmm. unless it's like my birthday or something.
Can you and I go there together?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I would love that.
Okay.
So with that said, we often go Sun in My Belly, and that's mostly because it's very vegan friendly.
What do you think about that for opening a spot? Old Edgewood. Now that the Beltline's open there, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. I mean, it's there's not really a gathering place. Like, to me, it's all about having a place, a communal, like, communal parking, communal, like, other businesses support you. If you notice, all of the Hop City / Barley Garden places are in communal places.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. That seems like a winner.
Well, maybe.
Who came up with that logo, by the way?
Brian Manley, our graphic designer, actually came up with that. Who also conveniently does all of the Shaky Knees graphics.
Oh.
So he has a pedigree.
Got it.
Son of My Bed, because that's vegan.
Rank these in importance to you. Braves, Hawks, Falcons, United.
All right. Hawks is number one. I love my Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have season tickets?
I don't.
Okay.
I do beg for free tickets from all of my distributor partners whenever I get a chance.
Nice.
Had front row seats 2 weeks ago.
Fantastic.
Yes, amazing. And then the Braves.
Okay.
Love the Braves, too.
Okay.
Then I would say Atlanta United.
Okay.
And womp womp. Sorry, Falcons. Right. I like the Falcons. I went to the Falcons game this week, too. So.
Oh, look at you.
I love Atlanta sports, but somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, right?
Somebody's winning. What is your favorite festival in Atlanta?
Ooh, well, we did just talk about Shaky Knees.
Okay.
I know it's not a festival. It's music, but I count it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I let people pick. Some people say... some people say Candler Park. Some people say a food one. Some people say a concert. It's whatever.
I would say the Inman Park Fest is a close second.
Okay.
Because it's weird, and
right.
I like weird things, and just I love that neighborhood. So those are my two answers.
Okay. Publix or Kroger?
Oh, Kroger. Come on. I'm cheap.
Okay. People are definitely, like, a very... Very people pick sides.
Oh, 100%. My wife is a Publix person,
right?
And I'm like, hey, honey, let's go to Kroger. She's like, no, we're going to Publix.
Who does the shopping mostly?
She does,
right?
So, yeah, she's really a Whole Foods person, but that's you didn't offer that choice.
You can say that. When I asked people, guy interviewed yesterday, and I gave the four sports teams, and the first thing he said was Bulldogs. It wasn't even an option, but that's how people answer. I take it. That's your crappy answer.
Yeah, but personally, I'm a Kroger guy.
Okay, I love it. Now you've answered the final question, which is who should I have next in the Atlanta podcast?
Nice, I gave you two good options, but
okay.
Tony Riffle would be he's super relevant because he's they're opening another Pancake Social
right.
over at the at what is that Atlanta Paper? What is that called?
I don't know. You
there's a new food hall coming soon because we need another one here in town.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on. It depends on the area, right? Like, if people, like, this is this clearly has become...
West Side Paper.
This has become a thing, right? Well, I ask you, what percentage of your...
Todd Ginsburg.
That's his name.
Yes.
Sorry, Todd. What is your percentage of people visiting from the burbs versus, I don't know, what's the give me the ratio of customers to this whole area. What are
To this area, we are very, very local. I would say 75% of our guests are local.
Okay.
Which is awesome because I know a lot of them by name and it's just, it feels very welcoming.
Okay. Do you know my first and last name?
Johnny, no, what happened? Todd Ginsburg. No, I just said it already.
Okay.
No, and then 25%, we get a lot of like United traffic.
Okay.
Like on game days. Mostly United and not as much football.
So they Google what's close to the stadium,
right.
And we're like, what, 2.5 miles from the stadium?
So, for instance, when the Rolling Stones were here, you know, concert right down the street over in the stadium.
Right.
We had a busiest day of the year, and we saw a lot of people. We saw, who am I trying to say?
Mick Jagger.
Oh, I wish.
Charlie Watts. R.I.P. Charlie.
Sorry. I wish I saw Charlie Watts because he had already passed. But we just saw a lot of Atlanta celebrity type people and people I would not normally expect to see here. A lot of suburban people that day.
Right. But it's 75-25?
Yes, easily 75-25. Where Krog Street, it's like 60-40.
Yeah, a lot of burbs.
A lot of out of metro Atlanta, but not in town.
Yeah, I would, dare I say, never go to there on a weekend. Like I tried to run recently over there, and I forgot, like, you can't.
So I live on the Beltline, and I have to, if I'm going to go through Inman Park and the Beltline, I got to do it before 10 o'clock.
Right.
And if you do it between 10 and 7.
Forget it.
Yeah, don't mind you, running is hard enough, but scootering or biking, there's no way.
Right. Well, listen, I thought this was great. I'm glad we finally did it.
Yeah, me too. This was super fun.
Right?
Yeah, no. Why you give me a look like it? No, it really was fun.
Okay. Because I'm having a hard time saying goodbye, I feel like. Because we've bonded.
No, this was super. We're going to go get I'll have a beer.
Okay.
You don't have to. But we'll go to Gun Show and we'll do the thing.
Dude, let's do it. Fist bump
away.